Good evening. Welcome to the Solaria Report. Today is Thursday, July 12th, 2012. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Tonight, we've got Franklin Sanders, the Money Changer, for our Precious Metals Market Report. I'm so glad we're having the Precious Metals Market Report because I need some quality time with Franklin. The markets have been unbelievable. I'm speaking to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, where I am for the summer. We had a great lunch here with subscribers several weekends ago, and the next lunch is early December in Nashville. Stay tuned. It'll be posted shortly on the blog. We're having a series of events September, October, November for C-Lane Advisory in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it'll be Nashville when we have the next one that's subscribers only. Very important, Franklin and I will be talking tonight about a conference that we've just announced. It's called Transformations and Renewals. It's going to be in October in Tennessee. There's a link at the private subscriber space in the blog for tonight's Precious Metals Market Report. Check it out. Our theme tonight is post-employee economy, after the name of an article which you can find up on the blog with the subtitle, It's Snap, Crackle, Pop. The post-employee economy is busting the overhead everywhere you turn around. All week long, if the global financial system was a boat, it was popping leaks everywhere you turn. Part is deflation. The economy is slowing and incomes are falling. But automation, globalization, and fraud are taking incredible tolls, and that's what the post-employee economy talks about. There's a real inability for the political process to face the reality, let alone deal with it. We'll talk about it later in the context of healthcare reform, which is very much front and center in the United States this week, as a population, a majority population that is not keen to have Obamacare happen is reeling from the Supreme Court decision in support of Obamacare, but at least declaring it a tax. We now have more paper that can solve the problem. There's just, you know, for many years we've been avoiding facing reality by just printing more currency and issuing more debt, and now the problems have reached a point where they call for resolutions, and federal debasement and centralization is causing greater and great pain at the state and local governments, which is where in many places in the United States the rubber meets the road. So it's time for real solutions requiring facing real problems, and the best way to do that is in our own lives, in our own households, because as you can see from the political discussion going on, it's very hard for the political process to deal with the real problems. In the U.S., we have another futures firm going down, the Peregrine Financial Group, known as PFG Invest. $200 million losses to commodity customers. The CEO attempted suicide. It's a little bit strange. The filings are saying that PFG had reported $255 million in customer accounts at U.S. Bank, which actually haven't been there for 2 years. Many customers say they thought their money was at J.P. Morgan Chase. That's of interest because J.P. Morgan Chase was exactly how the MF Global accounts, futures accounts, disappeared. And so a lot of question marks about what's really going on. Citibank, in response to more problems in the futures markets, announced new rounds of transparency, showing their book to their customers. Let's see what happens. I think too many people in America continue to be nervous about custodians in the futures market. A great video up in Money and Markets. We had Paul Krugman debate an Austrian economist from Spain. It's a great example of what I call pretzel talk. Zero Hedge posted it, and you can find the link in Money and Markets under Top Picks. If you go in and watch it sort of midway, what you'll see is Paul Krugman try and refute some very, very intelligent points from an Austrian economist. And what you literally realize watching him is he's talking pretzel talk. He has no idea how the economy really works. It's very scary, and it reminds me very much of Laura Tyson trying to refute Sir James Goldsmith in his very infamous interview with Charlie Rose in 1994. You had one person who truly understood how the economic process occurs at an individual household, you know, community level where the rubber really meets the road. And this guy has no idea. It's a little bit frightening. And it shows you the problems with getting to real solutions when the policymakers have put front and center people, and the media have put front and center people who are sort of promoting the official story, but in fact are absolutely clueless about what's really going on. Very important story that I continue to talk about. I rarely will post anything from Harvard University, but I posted a study called Oil, the Next Revolution, that goes into the unprecedented upsurge of oil production capacity as a result of new technology, including fracking technology. And there's been an explosion in oil and gas output in the United States and in North America, including up in British Columbia, and it can have dramatic impact at this point. Not to say that our infrastructure has converted yet, but the U.S. now has gas reserves sufficient to make it energy self-sufficient for more than a century. It's an unprecedented change of fortune over the last 15 years, and it's one reason why, you know, I hate to say this, the peak oil theory is completely off the table. The Fed is under more pressure to ease. Stocks have retreated. We've seen many days when, if you look across the board at the multiple market indicators, multiple global stock markets, oil, gold, silver, and the 10-year bond all down at the same time, which really shows you, you know, sort of if the global financial system was a balloon, it would be, the air would be coming out and it would be shrinking. Clearly, Obama is feeling the heat. He announced extending the Bush tax cuts for the first 250,000 of household income. Someone is still planning on a renaissance. The Commerce Department up on the blog has announced that they're opening regional patent offices. Apparently, the backlog is so significant. In Dallas, Denver, Silicon Valley, and are you ready for this? Detroit. I have a sinking feeling that the best financial opportunity in North America is converting residential land to farmland in the Detroit area. The states are really feeling the heat. If the federal government can mandate expenditures but keep printing money that debases the currency, thus driving up expenses and doing it in a way that destroys household income, which they depend on for tax and which dramatically raises expenses locally that they can't fund with printing more paper and debt as the federal government can. State and local governments are getting squeezed. In 2013 and 14 are the period when this is the rubber's really going to hit the road, both in the operating budgets as well in the amount of money they're putting into the pension funds. The pension funds are being squeezed by their falling yields, and they may have to turn around to the municipalities and ask for more money. As a harbinger of things to come, we see a whole string of California bankruptcies starting. Stockton filed for Chapter 9 on June 28th. San Bernardino, the city council, has voted to approve a bankruptcy filing. That on top of lots of reports in the news last week that San Bernardino was coming up with considering extraordinary use of the ability to condemn, of all things, mortgages to try and help local citizens refinance their mortgages or force the refinancing of mortgages in a way that would make the town money. Mammoth, a town of 7,700, can't afford to pay a court judgment to a developer, so it is now voted to file for Chapter 9. California, at the same time, approves the high-speed rail project, something that would be a tremendous boon for California. High-speed rail has never come to the United States despite a number of different efforts, and yet we have high-speed rail in Europe and high-speed rail in China. I hope it makes it to California. California is going to be a hot spot for the next 2 weeks. This weekend, July 14th, Bohemian Grove starts. Believe it or not, the conspiracy theorists are right. This is a very important time when leadership from all over the United States comes together, and the world too. And there, I'm sure there's going to be discussions about the elections in the fall, about quantitative easing and other central banking policies. It's very rare when that many leaders are in one place and can coordinate. So as I always say, when they leave the Grove, the bureaucrats in Washington and New York have sort of 4 to 6 months to get everything ready until after Labor Day, when the revisions in the budget allow for the final reconciliation and approval of the new federal budget, and that's a very important input coming out of the Grove, so stay tuned. It's going to be in the north of San Francisco. Up on the blog in Carroll County, New Hampshire, in fact, where I used to own farmland until the Department of Justice inspired me to have to sell it to pay litigation expenses. The Carroll County Sheriff has opened a criminal foreclosure, criminal task force on mortgage foreclosures. It's a very interesting idea. You can see the video on the blog. Healthcare is probably the top story in the U.S. Texas voted not to expand Medicaid, and is that leaves or will leave 25% of Texans uninsured, and we have other states expected to join them more on healthcare when we get to let's go to the movies and talking about some of our real problems. Over 26 states have declared drought disasters. The impact on U.S. crops is very serious. We have estimates of half the corn crop being destroyed in Michigan, as I said last week, 90% of the apple crop. This could have a very serious impact on U.S. exports and global food prices. And, of course, you know, if the real things you're making are shrinking at the same time you're printing more paper, it makes debasement worse. It's another reason to grow your own food or get close to those around you who are growing or farming, because food is just going to keep getting more important and more expensive. In the Eurozone, we see a labor scandal on both sides of the Atlantic. I have an article up on the blog called Labor Scandal. Let's play 20 questions. I'll talk about it further with Franklin. This is something that's got an enormous amount of media attention. And what we've discovered through the process is the media has no understanding of interest rates. It's kind of funny. They're all very confused between what happens when rates go up and down and what the difference is. Anyway, it's quite amusing to watch the whole thing. But again, there's the story they're writing, and then there's the story behind the story. The German Constitutional Court says it may need months to decide the constitutionality of the new European Fiscal Pact. Now we have German prosecutors announcing that they're going to go after a Morgan Stanley executive. So, again, things are going snap, crackle, pop in Europe as well. Middle East, we see the Russian and U.S. navies now converging on Syria. Several stories on the blog. But clearly there's tremendous tension going on, and more trouble, not just in Syria, but Libya. So apparently the Secretary of State is very, very busy. Russia says it's only servicing Syria's own helicopters, but there's no doubt about it that the what you're watching is really the tension between Russia and China and the United States as they compete for control of resources in the Middle East. Food and Health Monsanto is trying to attach a rider to 2013 agricultural appropriations that require the Department of Ag to grant Monsanto temporary permits to plant and grow GMO foods, even in the face of a federal court-issued injunction to stop doing so pending environmental impact statements. We have protesters in Hawaii trying to literally get Monsanto off the island. You wonder, and finally in wild cards, you wonder if the Libor scandal just got too much in the UK. Today we see the UK National Archives release thousands of government UFO files, offering some kind of comic relief.